Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, and we thank God for the King of Kings. He's the Almighty Father. He's with us. He is not a man that he should lie. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And he, oh, yeah, he keeps his word. We're privileged that we know the name of God, but we are more privileged that he knows our name and that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a mighty God we serve. He's awesome. He's mighty. So, Father, we come today to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your great favor. Thank you for your amazing love. Father, we thank you that you are the great creator. You created the sun, the moon, the stars in the name of Jesus. And we are thankful for this November the 2nd, 2022. You're an amazing God. You have brought us thus far, and you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. We are honoring you today. We're giving you glory. We're giving you praise, thanksgiving. You are the King of Kings. You are the Almighty Father. Nobody's great like you. You are Jehovah El Elyon, the Most High God. You are Jehovah Shalom, a great peacemaker. Make peace in us, peace in our home. Peace in our neighborhood, peace in our city, our state, our nation. Make peace with every world leader. Make peace with every world leader. Make peace between leaders in the world in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we're thanking you for peace, that kind of peace that passes all human understanding. Where there's wars, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, oh, God, to come in. Oh, God, repair and restore, oh, God, the people. In the name of Jesus, and Father, we're thanking you for restoring family relationships. In the name of Jesus, every family relationship, fathers, mothers, aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins, we're thanking you for restoring family relationships. In the name of Jesus, we're thanking you that you commanded us. Oh, yeah, you commanded us long time ago, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, to love you with all of our heart, to love each other like we love ourselves. So we are thanking you today for you commanded us. You didn't say, I desire, I wish, I hope. No, you gave us a great commandment. And the second one is like unto that, to love each other like we love ourselves. So, Father, when we obey your first commandment, your second commandment, in the name of Jesus, the world will be at peace. There will be no more wars. There will be no more rumors of wars. There will be no more tsunamis. No more, oh God, slaughtering of our babies, killing them unmercifully in the womb. No more kidnapping. No more trouble. Oh God, you said trouble don't last always. So we're thanking you that that trouble is leaving us, leaving our households, leaving our neighborhoods, leaving our city, our state, our nation. We thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful. You are faithful. No God is greater than you. No God is holier than you. You are Almighty God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord God Almighty. You're in the heavens and you're in the earth. You're omnipotent, most powerful, omnipresent everywhere at the same time. And we appreciate it, Lord God, because a million people can be praying, trillion people all at the same time. But you know our individual voices. You're amazing, God. Nobody can compare to how great you are, how powerful you are, how mighty you are. You are mighty, mightier than we can think, mightier than we can imagine. Our human minds cannot understand your ways. We know they're higher than ours. Your thoughts are higher. Your ways are higher. You're an amazing God. Oh, amazing God. In the name of Jesus, we're thanking you today for all that you've done, because you've done great things in our lives. You are that mighty provider, Jehovah Jireh, a mighty provider. You provide everything that we need for life and godliness. You don't leave out anything. You said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. Lord, you said when our parents forsake us. You would take us. So, Father, we thank you that you're taking us up in your almighty palm, and you're loving on us every day, and your love is so amazing. Your love in your love is included, oh, God, chastisement, because you love us, and you chastise us, so we'll keep our eyes fixed on you, so we'll keep on the path, the narrow path. You said narrow is the way that leadeth to abundant life, oh, God, so we're thanking you in the name of Jesus for all that you're doing, all that you're about to do on our behalf. Oh, God, you are gracious. You are holy. You are God who keeps your word. You don't ever go back on your word. Whatever you promise us shall come forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you that you're an amazing God. For lack of words, we can't even really truly put into words your description, oh, God. In the name, you're indescribable. In the name of Jesus, you are mighty. You are holy. You are peacemaker, Jehovah Shalom. We thank you for that peace that you put on the inside of us. No matter what's going on in our household, no matter what's going on in our mind, no matter what's going on in our city, our state, our nation, and in the world, you are peacemaker. You're making peace within us. Peace, 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 peace. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you said the steps of a good person are ordinary. But we are thankful that the ordinary steps, God, you are forward. Thank God he's ordering our steps to study his word. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study so you can please me. Study so you won't be ignorant. Study so you'll know about Satan's devices and how to defeat the enemy when he come along. But, Lord, we thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Oh, God, we plead the blood of Jesus over us, over our households, over our family, in our city, our state, and our nation. And we thank you that you are God. Well, welcome again to Wednesday midweek Bible study. We thank God for each of you all. We thank God for you all coming on. My God, do you know this year is almost over? This is the 11th month, the second day of 2022. We got one more month in this year. God is so amazing. Lord, we just thank you that you kept us. Many people got the virus, even though they're still living, they got so sick, Lord God. But, Lord, you kept us. Many people left the earth realm, Lord. Many people got imprisoned, not just in a physical bars, Lord God, imprisoned in their mind. But you set our minds free so that we're not imprisoned. Oh, God, we are free And we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Oh, my God, if it had not been for you on our side, we don't know where we would be. So, you know, we've been studying in the book of Ecclesiastes. Today, our scripture is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5. For the living know that they shall die. We all know we're going to die one day. But the dead know not anything. When a person died, they don't know nothing. Neither have they any more a reward. Thank God we still have a reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. So we thank God that we are yet alive, have breath in our bodies. Yep, and we still got work to do. You know that song says there's much work to do. There's work on every hand. So we thank the Lord for each of you. We give God thanks and praise. We celebrate the Lord because he is so good. Oh, my God. Like I said, he's indescribable. We could say every description in the world for our God, but it's yet he's more than that. We could say he's a Jehovah Shalom. Yeah, peacemaker. He's Jehovah Jireh, provider. Jehovah Nisi, a banner. He's Jehovah Tikkanu, a righteous God. We could keep going on and on and on, but yet there's so many more descriptions we can't even begin to think of, nor name. So we thank God for each of you all coming on today. Oh, my God, I'm blessed. When I see your numbers pop up on the screen, I am so blessed. I'm just thanking the Lord that he put you and you and you and you and you and all of you in my life. What a blessing. You are a blessing in my life, and I thank God for each of you. Well, got Sister Mary Nichols on today. I pray that she's going to sing a song of praise today. I'm thanking God for her. Good afternoon, Sister Mary. She's on mute. Good afternoon.
Hello?
You sound way away.
Can you hear me?
Can now.
Okay. My phone is really
a very interesting phone. Okay. Well, we'll try.
Great things for us. He is all the time. You know what? I thank God for the oxygen supply for us every day. The sunshine, moon, stars. As I drove today, I was so grateful for the sun shining on me. I could feel the warmth of the sun. And I thank you, Lord. You know, many things we take for granted, but some people don't have the sunshine. They in the snow or, you know, some other kind of weather. But I thank God every day for what he does. His love is so amazing. Yep, so amazing. We thank God. Well, we have Sister Lani McBride on with us. We thank God for how Jesus is doing things for us. Oh, yeah, all the way from Oklahoma City. And now we have Sister Lani McBride with us. She is from Jackson, Mississippi. So we are privileged to have her. Good afternoon, Sister Lani.
Good afternoon. Jesus, there's just something about that name.
Call each other, but we know in the long run we got to call Jesus. Yep, there's just something about that name. I could be in the shopping center, the grocery store, When I hear that name, I am so excited. I am so excited. So I thank God for each of you coming on with us today. Jesus. He is amazing. He is an amazing God. All right, well, I thank God for you all coming on today to sing songs of praise unto our King. So we're going to do scriptures. Get those Bibles ready. You know how we do it. Get our Bibles ready. Get ready to get into the Word. There's nothing like the Word now. You know, I could spend hours reading and studying the Word. And sometimes I just, oh, my God, I say, oh, Lord, what does that mean? I'm doing research, just love to study the Word since I was very young. I love to study the Word. So I thank God for the written Word, and I thank God that we could hear His voice. But we got to get in that still, sweet, you know, that still place. In order to hear His voice. He's so amazing now. I know you know it already because He's done great things for us over the years. The longer we live, the more we can count our blessings. That song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. It'll take me a century to name them one by one. He's done so many great, amazing things in my life. So today, we're going to be looking at some scriptures and scripture search. So get your Bibles ready, your paper, your pen ready. So search it out. So the first scripture, you got to tell me where it's found. And the first one says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Where is that found? And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Where is that found? And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. You already know it's in the Old Testament.
Sister Marion.
Okay. All right.
Okay, it's in Genesis chapter 2. And wait a minute. And the Lord, no, it's in Genesis chapter 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him.
It's Genesis chapter 2, verse 15.
Right.
You were right.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15.
Thank you so much. All right. The next scripture says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and dust thou will return. Where is that found? It's in the Old Testament as well. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, and thou shalt return into the ground. For out of it was thou taken. For the dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Where is that scripture found? Where is that scripture found? And read it. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return into the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Where is that found? It's in the Old Testament. In the sweat of thy face, thou shalt eat bread In other words, you got to work till thou return into the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Where is that found? I'll give you a clue. It's in the Old Testament, in the books of the law.
Selene.
God made it so. Okay.
Selene, Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. So thou return.
Amen. Thank you. All right, you guys, y'all doing good. We're moving right along. The next scripture says, in all thy labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Where is that found? In all thy labor there is profit. Talk of thy lips tendeth only to penury. Where is that found? Mm-hmm. You know we talk a good talk. All right. But you got to put that action in there. And all that labor.
Mary.
Sister Mary. Huh?
I just lost it. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Y'all keep looking. In all thy labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Where is that found?
Okay.
Go ahead, Sister Mary.
No, I don't have the right one.
Okay.
In all
thy labor, there's profit. Yes? But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Where is that? That's in the Old Testament.
Oh, okay. I think I found it. Proverbs 14:23, there is profit in all labor, but mere talk leads only to poverty.
All right. Thank you so much. That is correct. Y'all doing very well. I'm so proud of you all. All right. We got two more. All right. Whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. Whatever thy hands find to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, where thou goest. One day we won't be working no more, y'all. We'll be reaping our rewards. In heaven. All right. Where's that found? Whatever.
Sister Marion.
Okay.
Sister Marion. It's in Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whether thou goest.
All right. Excellent. We got one more. One more. Y'all doing very well. So the last one, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let him that steal steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Where is that found? Clue, that's in the New Testament. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Where is that found?
Sister Lainey.
Mary.
Okay. Sister Lainey, go ahead.
Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it.
Okay, good. Sister Mary, go ahead. You found the same thing. Go ahead, Sister Mary.
Yeah, I have a different version. If you are a thief, quit thieving. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need.
All right. Thank God for you all. Yep. We got to learn to search the scriptures and learn the scriptures as well. Thank God. Y'all did an excellent job. I'm very, very proud of you. Well, today I am going to need some readers. So if you can read for me, I would appreciate it. Get your paper and pen, so I'm going to give it to you twice, and you can tell me if you want to read it. Genesis 1:29 is the scripture. Genesis 1:29.
Mary.
Okay, Sister Mary. Thank you. Okay. The next scripture is Genesis 1:14. Genesis 1:14. Who want to read that one? Delaney, I'm going to call you. Read Genesis 1:14, Sister Delaney. You got it?
Yes, ma'am. Genesis 1:14.
Yes, thank you. All right. Sister Marion. Genesis 31:1-5, Sister Marion. Marion, okay. Let's see. The next one is...
I didn't get it. You said Genesis 31:1-5?
Yeah, I believe. Let me check it again. No, I said Exodus 31:1-5, Sister Marion.
Exodus 31:1-5. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I got
Okay. I need another reader. Let's see. This one is Matthew 25:2. Matthew 25:2.
Mary.
Okay, thank you, Sister Mary. All right. Next scripture is 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14.
Sister G, I'll read it if nobody else wants to read it.
Sister Mary, okay. Sister Lanny, would you read 2 Corinthians 5:16-21, Sister Lanny? And Okay. Who will read? All right. Who will read this scripture? 1 Timothy 3:15. Need somebody to read that one. All right, Sister Mary, I'm gonna put you down for that one. First Timothy 3:15. Correct.
Okay.
Sister, here's another one. Sister Lanny, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Sister Lanny, 1 Corinthians 12:27.
Yes,
yes, you have
ma'am.
It?
Yes, ma'am. 12:27.
Yes, 1 Corinthians. Okay. Marion, I know I'm giving y'all several scriptures, but we got it. You know, this is who's on today, so I thank God for you all. Sister Marion, Ecclesiastes 5:19. So as you find the scripture, just put, you know, a piece of paper in, you know, where your scriptures are. Put a pen, a pencil, piece of paper. All right. We got Sister Vivian joined us. Sister Vivian, can you read a scripture?
I'm going to be listening in because I'm not at home.
Sister Mary, this one is for you. Ecclesiastes 5:19, Sister Mary.
Okay. Ecclesiastes 5:19.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And one more, Sister Lanny. One more. Ecclesiastes 4:4.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we're going to begin a Bible lesson for today. And if you like, you can put your phone on mute till I call on you. I'll call on you to read in a little bit. Thank you. Because sometimes, you know, there's a bit of sound in the phone. So if you want to put your phone on mute while I'm reading and I call on you, I won't forget you. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 is what I'm going to read right this minute. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand do. If you could put your phone on mute, that'd help me a lot. I still got a little something. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. So the title of our message today is, do God's will with your hand, and do it with all your might while you can. Do God's will with your hand, and do it with all your might while you can. Do God's will with your hand and do it with all your might. Thank you, Brother Harold, for coming back on with us.
I got three yes on you now.
All right, put your phone on mute.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Unless you want me to put it on, you want me to put it on there for you? All right. So Ecclesiastes 9:10, this is in another version of the Bible, says, whatever presents itself for you to do, do it with all your might, because there is no work, planning, knowledge, or skill in the grave where you're going. In other words, we all going to die. We all going to leave this earth. The Bible said there's once to man, appointed to man, once to die, and then the judgment. So we're all going to die. You know, sometimes kids ask me, they say, Sister G, when we die, we're going to come back? No. No, we're not coming back to earth. No. So This is our King James Version, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So we're going to leave here one day. Now, we don't know when, but we got to prepare. You know, preparation is the key. And you know how we got to prepare. We got to live for God every day. Live for the Lord. Die to ourselves. Sometimes I don't like to die to myself. I wish I could eat me a chocolate candy bar. I got to die to myself from the chocolate candy bars. Can't have that. We use our hands daily to cook, to eat, to bathe, to grocery shop, to drive, to call people on the phone, and a lot of other things all day. Especially women, we're busy all day long. You know, I mean, we use our body, whether it's our eyes, our hands, our feet, our whole body. We're doing things all day. Now, Leviticus 23, verse 3 says, you may work for 6 days, but that seventh day, you got to worship the Lord. A day when you don't work, a holy assembly. Don't do any work on that day. That's what it says in the Old Testament. That's what they were required to do. Leviticus 23 and 3. They were required not to do any work. So, you know, we got to, today our requirements are somewhat different. You know, some people, hopefully they're going to worship, and then some people leave worship and go to work, a physical job. So we're talking about God's will with your, do God's will with your hands and do it with all your might while you can. Yeah, so we have work to do. And in the Old Testament, they were forbidden to work on the Sabbath day, the day that God set aside for them. It was called the Sabbath day. And so they were only allowed to worship God that day, not to work. In the Old Testament, God commanded people to worship him on the seventh day, but they could work for 6 days. But we do not forget, you know, to set the seventh day to love God, to obey him, to worship him, to praise him. Today we worship God every day, not just the Sabbath day, but we worship God every day. You know, then they worked and they ain't worship God every day, but now we're commanded to worship God every day. So we got to obey him, worship him, praise him. Today we worship God every day. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as with working for the Lord, working diligently at whatever you do. Though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. So when you go to work, you want to have integrity. You don't want to sit down on your break. I'm telling you, when I was a young woman, I worked at the post office here in Jacksonville, Florida. And I worked from 11 to 7 in the morning, 11 at night. And boy, we weren't, these women that we worked with, these other ladies, it was a college job. We ain't do right. Sometimes we say, girl, you watch for me while I sleep, and I'll watch for you while you sleep. We took a 30-minute rest about 4 o'clock. We stand up. But God said, no, don't do that. You got to do what you're supposed to do on your job. So we thank God he want us to be in integrity. You know, he don't want us to, you know, whatever, you know, do it as unto the Lord. So we're not going to hide and pretend, you know, before the Lord. So let's not do it when we're working for the Amplified Bible says, whatever you do, whatever the task may be, work from the soul. That is, put your very best effort forth, your very best effort. You know, when we do things, you know, for the Lord, we, even when we're doing it for human beings, we're working on a job, we don't want to cheat, steal, you know, even if it's stealing time, like I was doing. I was stealing time when I was a young woman, about 20, 21, somewhere in there. I was stealing time. God don't want us to steal anything, time, things, nothing. When we work for God, we should have a good attitude towards, you know, the work that we do and be willing to do it. Even when we work a secular job, and we have the light on the inside of us. So darkness will come if we're not doing right. We don't want no dark areas. No, when God look at us, we want him to see the light. For God, the Lord, our maker, should be done. And this is how. Remember the children of Israel? They were complaining and murmuring all the time. No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to murmur and complain. We want to be thankful to God. We got to, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't like to go around the mountain 100,000 times. No, I want to go up, you know, I don't want to spend all 40 years. I said, Lord, let me be a quick learner and learn what it is you want me to do quickly. We have work to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7 through 18, it says, you know, since everybody on earth had work to do, I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to tell you. A task uniquely suited to our lives. God put something on the inside of us before he sent us to the earth. Just like he put something on the inside of Jesus, Abraham, Moses, he put something in there. He said, this is what I want you to do, to work joyfully. Since our approval is from God, we want to work joyfully. We don't want to say, no, my feet hurt. Lord, I'm tired of this. Here they always telling me to do this, and then before I can finish that, they tell, no, we don't want to murmur and complain. We want to be grateful. Do you know there are people still living on the street? They don't have a job. Some of them have tried. Some of them used to own their own business, had a mansion, had houses, but some reason, they're on the street now. So we don't want to be, you know, on the street. We want to be thankful that we live in a house somewhere. We live wherever we live. We got a roof over our head. So we have to work energetically, even if the results seem uncertain. Work energetically. Don't be dragging around and say, oh, yeah, I stayed up half the night watching a movie, and now I'm tired, but I got to go to work, so let me just work and drag all day. No. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device, knowledge or wisdom in the grave where we are going. And we are going there now. Don't kid yourself. We're going to the grave, okay? So we got to prepare. We got to work for God before we do it. So when we get to heaven, we'll know. God, we want God to say. We want his stamp of approval. He'll say, oh, yeah, I know you. Yeah, I know you too. I know you too. Yeah, he said, yeah, I know you, Brother Harold. I know you, Sister Mary. I know you, Sister Lanny. I know you, Sister Marion. I know you, Micheline. I know you, Sister Vivian. We want God to say, thank you, Jesus, that you know our name. We don't want him to overlook. We're like, who are you? Because we haven't been doing no work down here. He commanded us to do work. So we don't want to, you know what I'm saying? We want to know that God know our name. And our name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. We got to do it. He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11 and 12, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet the bread to the wise, nor yet the riches of men, of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. For man knoweth not his time, as the fishes are taken into an evil net, and as the birds are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them. We don't know when we're going to leave the earth. We don't know when God's going to call on us. But we got to be ready. That song say, be ready when he calls. Be ready when he comes. I forgot if it's call or come, but y'all know. Be ready. We got to be ready. We got to work wisely with the benefit. You know how you work on a job and you're storing up your pension, you know, your Social Security? Well, this is our pension. You work with your hands for the Lord. This is the everlasting pension. It keeps us from being burned through eternity. What is God's perspective on work? He has a purpose. There's a purpose for it, for working. God has a purpose. You know what? God worked. Yes, he did work. Jesus worked when he was on the earth. He worked among people he labored, seemed like untiringly. He go in a crowd. One boy had a lunch. He worked. He made, he fed all of those people. That's work now. That is work. Don't you think he ain't labor? And he sweated, dropped the blood when he prayed. That's work. So we got work to do too. You know, it said we got to be more like Jesus. So, God, what is God's perspective on work? Purpose, provision, productivity, pleasing to the eye, and providing order. You ever been someplace and it was just a mess? Just a royal mess. You say, why don't they straighten out this mess? I'm talking about like a business. You go in it and they got papers all over, folders all here, everywhere, everything all messed up, stuff on the floor. You know, we gotta work, get things in order. Purpose. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Provision. This is why we're working for a purpose. Yeah, God has a purpose for provision. The second God's reason for work is to provide for us, provision. What was God creating the heavens and the earth for? For us. Yeah, the earth. Father, he worked untiringly for 6 days. Now, he's amazing. I work 6 days. I'm complaining. I'm like, that's too many days. I want to work just five. And, you know, and sometimes I don't want to work five. So he performed his work in a way that assured us and the animals that, you know, he's providing for us all the provisions that we needed. He provided provision, substance. He provided healing. He provided peace. He provided righteousness. I mean, you know, he provided everything we need. God keeps his thoughts of us are more than the grains of sand. Now, how often do we think of him? I know we don't think of him more than the grains of sand because we don't know how to do it. But we can keep our mind stayed on him. You know, we don't want to keep our mind stayed on the love of life or what's those game shows that come on or even the news. I don't want my mind bombarded with the news. I want my mind bombarded with the word of God. I want my mind to hear what God is saying in this hour. Because, I mean, this is a crucial time. We live in crucial times. Okay, Sister Mary, you have Genesis 1:29.
Yes, 1:29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat.
Amen. So that's our food. He said the trees. You know, I know we want to eat goats and calves and I know we don't eat elephants, but whatever we eat in this country. But he said, I gave you every fruit-bearing seed. You know, that they're making food now with no seeds? They got seedless watermelons, seedless fruit, grapes. Now, who wanted to do all that? Why we want to change God's plan? His plan was perfect. He said he provided fruit-bearing seed, you know, for us to eat. Put it in the ground. That's what we got to eat. A lot of stuff that come up out the ground. Nowadays, we eating out the can. We eating out the package. And it's not healthy for us. But every herb-bearing seed, we can eat. You know what they ate in Daniel? chapter 1. If you don't remember, go back and read Daniel. And we can't go wrong when we...
Hello?
All right, so the third reason for work is productivity. God provided divine insight to inventors to be productive in producing food for everybody on the planet. And we think there's a shortage, but guess what? It's not God's plan for us to have a shortage. If human beings work with their hands with all their might, no, it's not going to be a shortage. It's going to be enough. But some people say, oh, I'm going to retire. They be, you know, young people retire. God created humans, and his first commandment was be fruitful and increase, multiply in number, and fulfill the earth, fill the earth and subdue it. The fourth reason God ordained work can be termed to, you know, this pleasing to his eyes. Genesis 2:2-9. The Lord God made all kinds of trees growing out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. I know sometimes when I'm riding, I say, oh, my God, look at that tree. Now, I'll tell you, I haven't seen an apple tree in a long time. I haven't seen, you know, a banana plant in a long time, but they are there. Yeah, they have them. He made beautiful things. Everything God made is good. So I'm grateful that he made all these things. The fourth reason God ordained work can be termed pleasing to the eye. Genesis 2:9, the Lord God made all kinds of trees growing out of the ground that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. The fifth, he created order, work. The fourth reason the Lord, he created work for mankind to provide order. You know, just think if he didn't provide work, people would be doing all kind of things. We need to work to keep order. Yeah, he commanded us to work with our hands. You know, people would be taking food from other people. They're doing it now, though. They're stealing from other people food, stealing people's food, money, all kind of stuff. You know, we serve God, a God of order, not chaos. God took a dark, formless earth, the world, and gave order to it, including the days, the seasons, allowing us to have better than, you know, he just thought of us. He's always thinking of how we can have better. All right, Sister Lanny, you have Genesis 1:14.
Yes, ma'am. Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.
Amen. God is so thoughtful, so thoughtful. Now, Sister Lenny, I need you to do me a special favor.
Yes, ma'am.
Not in about... Right after Sister Marion read this scripture, can you sing a song for us, a song of praise, of thanksgiving unto God? Right after Sister
yes.
Marion read this scripture. All right, so God provides.
Yes, right now.
Huh?
Yes, ma'am. After Sister Marion.
Yeah, just hang on.
Right now.
Yeah, right after Sister Marion read the scripture.
Yes, ma'am.
So God with us. Unique skills, gifts, and talents. He calls on us for particular roles and activities. Although the role might have apparent differences, all of them are important. All of our callings are equal to God. Spiritual calling. Okay, Sister Marion. You have Exodus 31,
right.
1 through 5.
Okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called thee
by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them in a carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. That was 1-5.
Be still and know I am your God. Be still and know I am your God. Be still and know I am your God. I'm in. Oh, I'm in control. I'm in control. You can be still and know I am your God. Be still and know I am your God. Be still and know I am your God, your God. Shout, I'm in control. I'm in control. I will exalt every valley, mountains and hill made low. The crooked shall be made straight. Rough places played, I will exalt every path. Mountains and hills may know. The crooked shall be made straight. Rough places played, you can. Be still and know I'm in control. I'm in control. Listen to my voice. Hear my heart. I'm in control. I'm in control. Obey my word. Obey my word. Obey my word. I'm in control.
Amen. God is in control. It's not us. I know we think we're in control, but we're not. God is in control. Hallelujah. And he even orders our steps. Isn't he awesome? Romans 12:6-9 says, having different gifts according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, of ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it simplicity with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. So I thank God for his word. We all got gifts. We all got talents. God has given them to us. But we have to work to do God's work with a good attitude. We got to have all negative attitudes removed while we're doing the job for God's activity. It's usually based on ignorance. A lot of times we get negative due to ignorance. Like the children of Israel, they got negative, murmuring, and complaining because they really didn't understand God's plan. God had a better plan for them. And they were complaining about they wanted to go back to Pharaoh. Uh-uh, we don't want to go backwards. We want to go forward. So, you know, we have good experiences working in the church. I mean, you know, sometimes I focus on the negative. And I say, look at you, Carita. You are in the negative, and God has done so many good things for you. You ought to repent. So I have to repent for thinking on the negative. So I'm going to give you just a few seconds. State your name and briefly tell us a good experience that you had working in the church. Tell us a good experience. State your name, and you're going to tell us a good experience you had working in the church. Well, I'll start. One of them was when I was working in this church in New Orleans, I was teaching Sunday school, and I had children from probably 2-year-olds to about 6 years old. And I was teaching them about the creation, and I was, you know, showing them animals. I probably had elephants and tigers and lambs and bears and kittens and puppies, little stuffed animals. And I was how God made all the animals. And then I said he made the plants and the trees and, you know, he made everything. And then I said, now God made you. And so then we went around. I said, now who made you? I asked each child. And we got to this one child. He said, I made me. That was the cutest thing. And so I said, no, let's do it again. Who made you? He said, God made me. And each one of them, they were real young. They said, God made me. God made me. And then we had to do Sunday school review. Now, what did that little boy say? He said, I made me. Every other child, all the other children said, God made me. We got to him. He forgot. He said, he was convinced that he made himself. So that was one of my really good experiences in the church. So state your name and give us, you know, do it kind of brief unless y'all won't stay on here till midnight. Tell us what your experience or good experience. Go ahead. Y'all went to sleep on me?
No. No. Sister Mary. I've had some very good experiences in being with choirs and playing for choirs and just being a musician in a choir. Now, there have been some times when it's changed, but I have had some very blessed experiences that even in choir practice, you hit a song and you can just worship. So I've had some good music experience.
All right. Thank you, Sister Mary. Who's next? That was good.
This is Sister Vivian. I had a great experience at the church when I was having a problem with my eye. It seemed though it was bulging, and I had the choir to pray for me because the surgeon had set up a surgeon date for me to go to surgery. And the choir prayed over my eye, and I was healed. Amen. I never had surgery. Never went back to the surgeon. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Sister Lainey, I heard you too. Go ahead. Thank you, Sister Vivian and Sister Mary.
I want to piggyback on Sister Mary's experiences working with the choirs at the church over the years. Choir, and I have some people in the young people's choir who were older than I was. I was 15. And as the girls filled out the choir, the boys came, and the choir grew, and the choir grew. And my daddy gave me instructions. He said, baby, I want you to teach the hymns. Even if you have to rearrange them, I want the young people to know the hymns. I want them to learn the hymns. And consequently, to share the word of God in every rehearsal. So we came up with what we call spiritual uplift as part of our devotion. We would have somebody to open up with spiritual uplift, and it was always a word. They had to teach a lesson. And I'm 74 now, and I see a lot of young people who passed through the choir during those years. Next year, it would be 60 years I've been sitting at the piano at one church. A lot of young people and their children have come through. And when I meet them, sometime if they've been away, they will remember something that was said in spiritual uplift from the word that helped them as they grew older. And I find that fascinating. I didn't really understand fully why that was. My daddy gave me instructions as a pastor, and I walked in obedience. But we all grew from it, and we all are reaping the benefits. I wrote songs that I always sometimes didn't fully understand the fullness of it, but I knew God did it. I knew God wrote the song, and I knew it was a good song, and I knew the truth. But then as I began to develop as a faith person, my intimate relationship with the Lord, I had to begin to live and experience the songs that he had already put in my heart to be encouraged because the songs were word-based. And I find that fascinating. He was growing me when I didn't know he was growing me. And not only me, but others as well. So the word is just really powerful.
Amen. Thank you so much. Okay, anybody else? Good experience you've had at the church.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Harold, you want to share something? Sister Marion?
This is Micheline.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. And then Sister Marion after you, Micheline. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. I just want to say I've had plenty of good experience in the church, but some of the most memorable thing that I did was, I think I was about 18, 19, and I got the opportunity to be the youth president. And just like one of my passions is to mentor young kids and try to, lead them the way, trying to go to school, go to college. And I feel like God used me in that position, not necessarily just being the youth president, but I was able to mentor plenty of the young kids who felt like, after high school, college was not an option. And sometimes God can use you and put you in that position to do different things. And one of the things I enjoyed the most was, especially my, I think, juniors and seniors, just like teaching them basic things they probably were not getting at home. Outside of, teaching about the Bible and stuff, I was able to mentor quite a few, telling them about the ACT, the SAT, and getting them enroll in college. And I think that was it was fulfilling to me in the sense where not only I was able to preach and help with the gospel and teaching them, but also practical stuff in life. And that's one of the most memorable job that I felt like I've done while I was in the church, especially at such a young age. And I felt like God used me to help other young kids.
Okay, thank you, Sister Micheline. That was awesome. Very powerful.
You're welcome.
All right, Sister Marion, go ahead.
Yes, one of my experiences was similar to the other two ladies that spoke. I was over the youth, and I didn't think that what I was giving them was like rubbing off on them or really getting to them. But after all these years, all of those ones that started out as babies with me and grew up to be teenagers and now are grown men and women, on my birthday or on special occasions or appreciation, the things that they text and say about me, I didn't even think they remembered none of that stuff. But they told me in those texts and told me in the phone calls that I made a difference in their life. And that was great for me because that's what I wanted to do, to make a difference in their life so they would lead their life Christian-like. And the other one was basically not with the church but outside of the church. I worked with elderly people. I didn't know these people. I didn't know these people, but I met them, and in meeting them, I took it upon myself to take care of them and to look after them. And that gave me great pleasure. Those are my experiences.
Amen. Yes. We've all had very, you know, everybody has had some not so good experience, but overall, we've all had very, very good experiences. You know, when we're having these experiences, you know, God is building character in us. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, gee, I didn't make a difference. But we are making a difference. But God is building character in us. You know, he's building character traits. He's building kindness. He's building leadership skills. He's building consideration, empathy, reliability, intelligence, being innovative, thoughtful, resilient, brave, excellent, friendly. God is building character in us. You know, he's building qualities of character that we need, you know, so that we have a good foundation. And sometimes when he's building character, we don't even know he's doing it. And all of a sudden somebody says, oh, you're just so kind. Or, good God of my youth, you have such great organizational skills. You didn't have them all the time. Now, God was building those while you were working in the church and doing different things. So we got another scripture, Sister Mary. You had Matthew 25, verse 2. Sister Mary Nichols, you still there?
Sorry, I'm okay. Trying to get to unmute.
Okay.
Yes, 25, verse 2. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish.
Yes. So our work is yoked with Christ, and Christ was very wise, so we got to choose wisdom. You know, in other words, we got to prepare. Those five foolish ones, they were not prepared. So God want us to work and be prepared for what's coming up, and a lot is coming up. All right? We got Sister Marion. You have 2 Corinthians 6, 14-15.
2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 15. Be ye not unequally yoked together with the unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with violence, I can't pronounce it, or what part has he that believeth with and infield. Pronounce it for me, please, sister.
Belial, that's the devil,
okay.
And infield.
Okay, thank you.
And somebody, yeah. So,
okay.
So that's what we tell our children. Listen, don't hang with her. Don't hang with him. You know, we're to bring them to the Lord, but not fellowship with them. They're having a raunchy party, you know, cussing and drugging, and we're not to go with that. But we're to be the light to them. That's what Jesus did. He went to weddings. He went to different places. But they already knew. He stood out like a light You ain't getting that dark work. All right. Let's see. Sister Lanny, you have 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21.
Yes, ma'am. 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 21. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. But he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians
All right.
5. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now I want to ask you all a question. So tell me honestly, I'd be disappointed if we stopped here and we'll continue next week. I know y'all got homework, y'all did, but would you be disappointed? Anybody, state your name and let me know. I'll be disappointed. Say it. Or let me know how you feel.
I will not
that
be
mean?
Disappointed.
Okay, Mary, anybody else?
I would not be disappointed, but I need to say that, and this is my submission for prayer. I'm going out of town next Monday for 12 days to be with my brother who's having surgery. I'm going to be caregiver for 2 weeks,
yep.
And I have to make myself
yeah, we,
to him. So
prayer.
I want
still
to
got
next
prayer.
Week. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we're still going to do prayer, but I want to just stop the lesson and pick up where we left off.
Yes, ma'am.
But we're going to do prayer. I'm not going to leave
yes,
prayer
ma'am.
Off somewhere.
Now, I was saying that I won't be able to do my verses next week. I may not be able to do my verses, but that's all I'm saying. I know, yes, ma'am.
Oh, I got it.
And
I
won't
okay.
be on, I may or may not be on the next 2 weeks because I have to be available for whatever he needs me to do.
I got you. I understand that perfectly
yes,
well.
Ma'am. Thank
all
you.
All right, so but I didn't realize the lesson was that long, so. It's 2:25. Usually we enter prayer at this time. So we're going to stop, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to call on you all to pray. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Brother Harold. I thank you for Sister Mary Nichols, Sister Marion, Sister Micheline, Sister Vivian, Sister Lanny. I thank you for them and their families. I thank you for blessing them and safety, peace, and protecting them. I thank you for all that they for their hands to do, that they would do it diligently with all their might. In the name of Jesus, every concern they have concerns you, oh God. And Lord, I thank you for removing any stomach aches from anyone, any pain in the extremities of the body. I thank you, Lord God, that they press their way to come on weekly, Lord. I ask you for special blessings for them and their families. Anyone who's troubled about their grandchild, grandchildren, we lift them up before you. We thank you for their grandchildren being in safekeeping, being wise, making wise choices, that they would not go with the dark side, but they were continually in the light. So, Father, I thank you for all that you're doing for us, for our families, keeping us with blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. We repent for any way we've sinned against you, O Most High. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you gave Jesus for us. And so, Father, help us to be living sacrifices for you in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I thank you for Sister Lane as she will be going to visit with her brother who will be going, doing a procedure, Lord. I thank you for healing him. Even now, he's healed by your stripes of God. And so, Father, I claim that healing to come in his body to manifest. Thank you for the travel that she'll do. And I thank you for bringing her safely, protecting her from seen and unseen dangers. We pray for Rose Harbor, Mother Liddell, Mother Fanny, Mother Sneed, Pastor June Paul, Mother Avant, and other seniors that we may not even name. But, Lord, you know their names. So, Father, we rebuke a spirit of senility, and I'm not talking about forgetfulness, Lord. I'm talking about senility, Alzheimer's, whatever, Lord. So we thank you for what you're doing for the seniors. We thank you for what you're doing in our babies, baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Kyle, baby Revere, baby Devin. We thank you that you're in your almighty palm. No one can snatch him out in Jesus' name. All right, prayer request. State your name, and you got a request that I didn't cover.
This is Mary, and I have an opportunity to go to a conference in Dallas. This is a very quick surprise, but just praying for safety going down and back, and that I'm going to learn something.
Okay. Sister Lanny, could you her concerning her conference she's going to in Dallas for safety, and that the Lord would use her while she's there, and that she would bring us some information back to teach us too.
Yes, ma'am. God, we lift up our precious sister to you, God, that you will just bring her to a safe place as she prepared to go, and then as she's there, I receive an information that you will bless her to take it all in and enjoy the increase that you will give through your revelation knowledge by the power of Holy Spirit. And God, we pray that you will keep her strong in her spirit, soul, mind, and body, that she will enter that environment one way and leave empowered even the more, that she will be able to bring some things back that she's learned there to share with us so that we can grow thereby as well. We thank you, then we plead the blood of Jesus for her as she travels and she moves and have her being in you. So bless her, God, in Jesus' name. We agree with you that she's already blessed. She's already covered. We thank you, Abba Father, for this kind of love and this kind of care. We release her in your care in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Thank you. All right. Anybody want to give us a closing prayer? Sister Micheline, you want to close us out? Sister Micheline, can you close us out? Oh, she may be back busy again.
Okay.
All right, Sister Mary, go ahead.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just cannot thank you enough for this day and for this group, Sister G, and all who are on the call. We just praise you, Lord, for how you bless us, and you're so merciful and good to us. And I just ask that as the week goes on, that you will continually be before us in our hearts, our eyes. Lord, help us to serve you and stand up in your word no matter where we are and with whomever we are with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this Bible story, Lane. Appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Anybody have anything they want to say before we close out? All right. I love you all. Look forward to talking to you all next week. All right. We're going to do the same homework. So if you just keep your homework. I know Sister Lainey's, you know, be traveling, but we'll don't worry about it. We'll take care of that. Love y'all.
Love you.
Love you too, Steve.
Love
Amen.
Y'all.
Sister Lanny, would you allow Sister G to give me your phone number?
She hung up already, so I'll have to
call her. Okay. Just get permission.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Love you.